I get to introduce us. I'm Jen, and this is Fat Mascara.
Hi, it's Jess.
I literally, right before we started, I was like, let me do the introduction. You always do the introduction.
I didn't even know, clock that. You're keeping score.
No, but I just got excited to get us into this episode
because
it's a good one. Okay, you stretch.
Hold on, I got to stretch.
Keep that baby in there while you're doing your stretching.
So what are we going to talk about today?
We're going to talk about the latest in beauty news with the headlines, then Silicon Valley's obsession with anti-aging. I tried to do that like 2020, you know, like serious newscaster. And last but not least, last week we talked about briefly what your plan is for the beauty birth look, including the hair removal. What are you going to do before you go into the hospital?
That's
what I
want
to know.
I'll tell you.
So we'll talk about that. Who's our guest?
Our guest is the fabulous Dr. David Rosenberg. He is a premier plastic surgeon, not just in New York City, but the country, the world. And he's also known as the nose guy. So we're going to talk about all things nose jobs. Beauty news, the week in beauty headlines.
I still love the music. Okay, let's do it.
So Hermes just launched lipsticks. There's a ton of them. We actually did something with them for Harper's Bazaar. And I have to tell you, we were dazzled by the shades. There's a ton of shades, and some of them come in sheer, like kind of velvety matte, creamy, delicious. It's going to set you back $67 each, though.
Luxury.
European listeners, heads up. Matt and Marcus are doing a collaboration with Lancôme. And sadly, this is not going to be available in the U.S. The After Dark collection will include an Eyes Cold as Ice kit and another for lips, the Flaming Lips Lips kit. No relation to the band. No plans for this to come to the U.S. And another one for...
I like your color commentary. You're like an anchor woman. Keep going.
And another one for our friends abroad, specifically in London or anyone who's going to travel there. Harrods just unveiled their new beauty hall. I feel like this beauty hall has been being revamped for like the past few years. But now it's going to clock in at 90,000 square feet, triple its original size, and it aims to bridge the gap between experience, technology, service. I love that there's a 30-seat auditorium for masterclasses, which can be live-streamed throughout the store
on
their social channels.
Call us. We'll do a podcast there.
Kate Moss just did one there with Decorté.
So I mean, ours will be equally as popular.
Exactly. The wait lists are about the same. and there are 14 different treatment rooms, and some belong to Chanel, La Mer, Clé de Peau, La Prairie. You get it. This place is lush. And finally, in a study published last week, Harvard University scientists showed exactly how the process plays out when your hair gets gray because of, like, stress. It's not a wives' tale. Stress activates the nerves that are part of the fight-or-flight response, which in turn cause permanent damage to pigment-regenerating stem cells in hair follicles. I knew it was
true. That's crazy news. It was like a myth, and they kind of knew it happened, but they didn't know why.
They always show that, like, photo of Obama, like, at the beginning of the term versus the end.
And in this study, they actually talked about John McCain, and when he was a prisoner of war, his hair went white.
Barbara Bush, too, after her granddaughter died, her hair went white.
Well, now we know why. Thank you, Harvard scientists.
Thank you, Harvard.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Yeah.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff. With real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Jen, I read this article in the Washington Post, and it's really been, like, sitting with me.
Tell me.
So it's about Silicon Valley, not the television show, but we're going to reference that in a second, too. Mm-hmm. Some men say that cosmetic procedures are essential to a career. So we'll link to this whole article. You can read it. But it kind of, like, it made me sad, but it also was, like, super interesting to me because I love the show Silicon Valley.
Why were you sad?
Because it just shows, like, the pressures of ageism. So basically,
yeah. Well, this is almost like a reverse ageism, right? Because they want to look younger.
They want to look young.
Well, no, it's regular ageism.
It's plain old, good old fashioned ageism.
Which is funny because you'd think in Silicon Valley, where experience and business knowledge gets you ahead, like,
does it though? Let's think about it.
I mean,
if you're like 22,
no,
year old
you want the startup
app,
guy.
You want the young person. So
they've seen an increase in procedures over there.
Yeah, the article is really interesting because there's a lot of, like, anecdotal stories, and basically, you know, there are doctors around, you know, Silicon Valley where they're saying like 35% of their patients are dudes from the Valley who are not even old. Like, they're like 35 plus. 35 is like the key number. Who are like, my livelihood depends on me looking young, I say viral, vital, all those V words. And they're doing things like, you know, like getting Botox, coming in with, like, you know, face apps to say, like, I need my jaw to look like this. It's kind of the pressures that, you know, without making this super binary, that women have been feeling for, you know, since the dawn of time, are now hitting this group hard. But what's extra interesting, I think, is that a lot of the trends that we're seeing in wellness and, you know, aesthetics are coming from this area. We've both spoken about, like, how jawline surgery and, like, jawline procedures are getting bigger. This is, like, one of the top procedures there. Intermittent fasting, do you know what that is?
Yeah, now we're getting it. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that started in Silicon Valley.
See, this doesn't surprise me at all because I think about how they, like, self-optimization. Like, those dudes are all about efficiency. Like, get your computer program to work at its fullest extent. And I feel like if they have money, they're just like, this is just optimizing myself. These are the same guys that invented, I think it's called Soylent.
Exactly.
It's that food so the coder wouldn't have to leave to go get a meal and he could just drink his calories.
Exactly.
Like, instead of him putting together a nice skincare routine like we do. He's like,
or making himself a meal, or, like, God forbid, taking
care
30
of
minutes
himself
for lunch.
They're like, let's just do it the most efficient way possible. I'll go to the doctor's office, done and done.
So it's this very, you know, obsessive kind of, like, Spartan way to look at wellness. And I think it kind of unforgiving
ageism. I see
ageism.
Why the sadness creeps in when you...
I think it's really sad because ageism is a problem, I think, in the workplace. And it's one of the last ones that we talk about. We talk a lot about diversity and inclusivity. But ageism, this was interesting. IBM, this was in the article, pushed out 20,000 U.S. employees recently who they were all 40 plus.
I have to point out, though, also, just thinking business-wise, it's not because they're old. It's probably also because they're expensive. If you're trying to make your company run better, the most expensive employees that get the biggest salaries get cut off. And it didn't used to be like that, but...
Well, I would say the most experienced get
right.
cut off.
Right. Well, you lose the experience.
Yeah, so...
Sure, you saved a couple bucks, but then you also, you know, lost these really experienced people. You know what? When you brought this story to my attention, all I could think about, though, was Jeff Bezos's glow-up. Have you ever looked
at
old pictures of Jeff Bezos?
Yeah.
He was, like, not a great-looking guy, and he looks, like, trimmer, and he's fit, and he definitely has had some injectables done.
Completely. All right. Elon
I can't say
Musk.
Definitely. As a good journalist, I must say, I don't know. Unlike the Saudi Arabians, I haven't hacked his phone. But I'm assuming he's had some injectables, so.
And the stats back this up. Cosmetic procedures for men, they've tripled in the past 2 decades. But more recently, men undergoing non-surgical procedures, so that's things like, you know, Botox or
Jeff
therapy.
Bezos's thing.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
They've doubled from 2010 to 2016. Sorry, mm-hmm. That's the most recent data we have. But I don't know. Do you watch Silicon Valley?
Yes.
So do you remember the episode with the blood boy?
No.
So Gavin Belsom was sitting in this chair, and looked like a recliner chair, and then there was a kid next to him.
The character
who
was
looks
ridiculous.
Like, I love him. Next to him was like this very like Aryan Nation looking like young boy, like, you know, late teenager, early 20s. And he was getting a blood transfusion.
From the young guy into him?
Yes, his blood boy, so that he could act younger.
I mean, and the satire comes from a place of reality,
so
I'm sure.
Here's the reality.
Yeah.
There's something called parabiosis, which is a blood transfusion to reverse aging. And that's actually gaining steam. A company called Ambrosia LLC, they've launched clinical trials. And I was thinking back to your interview with like Dr. Barbara Sturm. I'm not saying she's doing anything apples to apples with this, but it's like this optimization of like tech plus like really kind of severe out of this world kind of procedures.
I need to do more research on that. Like, you're putting someone else's younger blood into your body?
Yes.
That's insane.
But like that, there's a reason. Like, Silicon Valley is a brilliant show. If you haven't watched it,
watch.
Like,
and in 5 years, I'll be like, I love my blood transfusions.
It's this very aggressive, like unforgiving self improvement wellness BS. P.S. I do want to talk about the Goop Show in a future episode.
I need to watch it first.
You got to watch it. It's good.
All I know is Megan's in it, and I keep seeing her face
on
the preview.
Hi, Megan. I know we saw you do Snoga, Megan O'Neill, a fellow beauty editor. But it's this obsession with wellness and self-optimization that is very, to me,
unwell.
I think you said it.
There you go. Jess, by the time this podcast comes out, it's possible you will have had a baby. I don't know. Any day now, right? I've been curious.
I feel like I want to have her right now.
When you told me she has lots of hair, because the doctor told you, it got me thinking, like, have you thought about your, like...
My look?
Your delivery room look.
My delivery room look.
Like, are you going to do a smoky eye?
No, I think...
Do they give you any guidelines of, like, you can't wear perfume, you know, like you're getting surgery or
whatever?
So
I started packing my hospital bag.
What about nail polish? Are you allowed to have nail polish?
Okay, so I'm wearing gels now, and after actually we leave, if I'm feeling okay, because I'm feeling a little dicey right now, I need to get the gels off, because I can't be, like, having birth, like, going to labor. And
I thought you weren't allowed to, in case they have to, like, put the thing on your finger.
Gross.
Okay, so look.
Just getting the gels off, because I want to just like be able to be
nice
fluid.
Shell pink manicure. Okay.
Yeah, I'll get a neutral manicure so that it's not going to be high maintenance if I go into delivery.
Got it.
Go into labor. And then I'm not going to be thinking about my nails. I will say I have thought about a fragrance.
Okay. That I want to know. And I also want to know about the hair removal plan down there.
Okay. I can't really shave my legs, but a weird thing happened in pregnant women.
But you
like,
get waxed, right? Your
not my leg.
Line?
Yeah, my bikini line.
What are you going
to
do?
I have to get that done like on Saturday.
9 months pregnant, you're going to get a bikini wax?
Yes. I hope that like the people at European Wax Center are not freaked out. I'm sure they've seen this before.
I mean, yeah. Why not?
Also, I like that I won't be able to see it because sometimes I watch.
It's almost like you're not getting it for the birth. It's like you know for the next month afterwards you're not going to be getting one too.
Right.
So.
But also like no one should be down there for 6 weeks.
What do you mean?
Like, no one should be seeing my hoo-ha.
Oh. The doctors are going to be
the
there.
The doctors. Okay. So, yeah, it's like off limits. It's like beep,
like not even
beep, like caution tape.
Yeah, okay.
So it's going to be a danger zone. I can't really shave my legs at all safely because I can't bend down.
I just picture you putting up like yellow caution tape at the hospital. Like, nobody go behind this line. Like, Jeff, stay up here. Stay with me up here.
He has to be eye level or above.
You don't want him to see her?
There's going to be no, you know, it's so funny in the birth plan. Did I tell you it's the birth plan document? I printed one out from the internet.
Of course.
And my doctor was like, the birth plan is happy mommy, you know, healthy baby.
Yeah.
So I don't want you guys to think I'm psycho, but I printed one out because everyone's like, what's your birth plan?
Uh-huh.
So I printed it out. And one of the things was like, do you want to, when the baby comes out, like touch the head, have your husband touch the head?
Yeah.
I think we should wait till the baby is hand delivered to like the
you
chest
don't want
there.
Him pulling on it.
No.
He's got a PhD in chemistry, but no. So you're going to keep him up near you and
yeah,
not
up
down
near
there.
Me. Okay. Okay. I was like, God, do you want your
I'm going to make him, I'm going to be texting him the whole time, be like, just tell me what's happening now. Tell me what's happening now.
There was even a thing like, you know, do you want video? Did I tell you about the mirrors?
No.
Oh, so maybe some of you ladies might have used this, and if it was a great motivational tool for you, awesome. It's going to scare the hell out of me. You can have mirrors, like, right
oh,
beneath
they'll
you.
They'll place them at the foot of the bed?
So that you can A, watch all the action, and B, they say it's highly motivating if you see that the baby is like half out. You can kind of like gauge where you are. I'm not sure I want to see that.
Okay, so no mirrors for you.
No mirror.
Okay, no mirrors.
Okay.
Bikini
back,
wax.
Back to the grooming.
Shell pink nails.
Shell pink.
And fragrance.
Fragrance, so important. I hope that they are not a fragrance-free zone.
There's going to be a lot of fragrances okay. in that room. I can guarantee you.
Oh, gross. Sick.
She started laughing, and then the fear just came over
I just
over
realized
her
what she meant. Right now,
I'm not talking about perfume, honey.
I have a mini Rose de Grasse from Erin. Okay, that I'm bringing. It's already packed in my hospital bag.
Like in a lovely handkerchief so you can just like.
No,
like
it's a little mini
no,
bottle.
No, but I'm picturing
oh, yes,
like an old like
smelling salt.
Like, yeah, like
kind of
smelling
thing.
Salts. Okay. Rose de Grasse,
and
that's
I
a lovely
also
scent.
Brought home. It's actually in this bag. I'm pointing to my tote bag on the floor right now. The new Jo Malone has, I think there may be an embargo on this.
Birth brought to you by Jo Malone.
I brought a Jo Malone pillow and like linen mist.
Do you
mist.
Think any other person has thought about what perfume to wear to the hospital when they give birth?
My baby needs to come into the world smelling roses. I want her to be light. I want her to be free. I want, baby,
she's
I'm looking at you now.
Smelling roses.
I want the world okay. to meet you where you are.
I cannot wait to talk to Jeff about this.
She's got, why should she smell hospital smell when she comes out? It's going to
you know
be hard
Jess?
Enough.
She's going to be a beauty and it's going to go well. And I have only good thoughts. This is all
knock
I like
on
it.
Wood from your lips to God's ears.
Absolutely.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad. And I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive and June. Olive and June gives you everything that you need for a salon quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
All right, it's not often that we talk about supplements, but when we do, you know that we mean it, all right? Every day I do my skincare routine, and that is a cleanse. I moisturize. Of course, I pop a little antioxidant in there. I'll do a little serum underneath there. But what is non-negotiable for me lately is I take a supplement. That is my Ritual Hyacera. It's a wrinkle support skin supplement, which is clinically proven to reduce wrinkles and improve skin smoothness. I'll take that.
I'll take it too. Ritual Hyacera is a once daily skin supplement. Jess said clinically proven. Let me give you the deets. In a clinical study, Hyacera led to a 3.6 time reduction in crow's feet wrinkles within 90 days as compared to placebo. Jess and I have been taking it more than 90 days. Let me tell you, it works. Plus, Ritual Hyacera has led to a 2.9 times increase in skin smoothness in the same amount of times. It's rigorously tested and validated by a third party for allergens, microbes, and heavy metals. You don't always know if a supplement does that. Ritual also has industry-leading sustainability standards. They use scientific tools to select lower carbon packaging, love that, prioritize sustainably sourced ingredients, and set ambitious climate goals. Plus, female-founded, B Corp, meaning they're holding themselves accountable to not just their company's financial health, but also the health of the people and our planet. You gotta love that.
Yes, okay. Start Hyacera to help minimize wrinkles without compromising on clean science. Hyacera from Ritual is a clinically proven skin supplement you can actually trust.
Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/mascara. Start Ritual or add Hyacera to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/mascara for 25% off. everyone, guess what I did last night? I slept in my Honeylove bra. I don't think I've ever slept in a bra before. Usually, I am so excited to take off my bra at the end of the day, there would be no chance I would lay down in it. But Honeylove bras are that comfortable. And if you're someone who does like to sleep in a bra for a little extra support, I feel like the Honeylove crossover bra should be your sleeping bra. Did I just coin a thing, sleeping bra? I don't know if they'll approve of that, but I love the idea. Obviously, you're gonna wear it out all the time too, because Honeylove's bras feature supportive bonding that eliminates the need for uncomfortable wires. Plus, they're made with a fabric that's so soft, it feels like a second skin. Is it spring cleaning time in your house? I know it is in mine. Clean out your bra drawer, get a few from Honeylove. They have the V-neck bra that's smooth and seamless and hardware free. And then my personal favorite is the crossover bra with adjustable straps and a hook back closure. And of course, again, no underwire in that one either. The Honeylove supportive bonding lifts and supports without those uncomfortable wires. And while you're at it, why not pair your Honeylove bra with their matching shapewear or maybe a pair of their breathable, versatile leggings? Treat yourself to the best bras on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/mascara. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off. It's honeylove.com/mascara. And then after you purchase, they're going to ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we here at Fat Mascara sent you. Honeys, you deserve this. Again, that website is honeylove.com/mascara for 20% off.
Tonight's guest is Dr. David Rosenberg. He is a top facial plastic and reconstructive surgeon in New York, board certified, of course, nothing less at Fat Mascara. He did a fellowship at the American Academy of Facial Plastic Surgery and General Surgery at Lenox Hill. He's a big freaking deal, guys.
He's also kind of known as the nose guy, right?
Mm-hmm. He is the authority on primary and revision rhinoplasty, which I know a lot of our listeners had questions about, especially that revision stuff. We're so excited he took a break from his busy surgery schedule to come down to Fat Mascara and chat about all things rhinoplasty. So Jen and I have had a lot of cues amongst ourselves about this procedure. But then when I put the call out on our Instagram and on our Facebook group, we were absolutely inundated. So hopefully, Dr. Rosenberg, you can clear a few things up.
Perfect.
For us.
I'm all yours.
I have to ask you, this is one of the biggest questions we got. Are nose jobs really as popular as they once were? Because when I grew up like in the 80s/90s, I felt like every 16-year-old tells you something about like the town I was in, got a nose job for their birthday. But I don't really hear that anymore.
I was asked this question recently and I was surprised to see the answer on Google that was different than my own experience. Mm. So I Googled how many rhinoplasties occurred in 2018 compared to the past.
Yeah.
And I read data, something to the effect that there's 45% less rhinoplasties now than in the year 2000. It was shocking to me because in my own personal experience in my practice, I have never seen as much demand as this year. I performed 50 my first year, and I'm performing 300 a year now.
Okay.
So in my micro...
It's most days of the year.
In my well, it's more than one a day.
Yeah.
They come in a series of mostly summer or winter break or April break, most of them, because it's going to be students, most of them.
Yeah.
And they're going to pick their holidays to have rhinoplasty. Sure. And during that time, facelifts are not being performed nearly as much, and that's nose job season. And I've seen and I've seen so much growth. So I was shocked to see the statistic. What it then made me think of is, well, how does someone actually track the number of rhinoplasties? How does an organization do that? Because I know that in my office, we've never been polled. No one's ever come to us.
Yeah, we see those stats from the mm-hmm. Academy of Plastic Surgeons.
Exactly. But the Academy of Plastic Surgeons has never reached out to Dave Rosenberg and said, well, how many did you do last year? So I'm surprised by that statistic, and let's take it as it is. Let's say that statistic shows a trend that there are indeed less noses than there were. That is maybe because in the 1970s and 80s, there was this trend where mom would say to their, let's just say it was typically young women, daughter, mm-hmm. you're getting a nose job, you're 16, it's part of your sweet 16.
Okay.
The daughter didn't have as much say in the matter. Today, 100% of the time, demand that the person who's sitting in my chair asking for rhinoplasty is the one motivating it. So maybe the importance of parental influence has gone down. So that could be a reason. And also ethnically, there's a diversity in our culture now that's more accepted, maybe. Mm. So that if someone does have a bump or a hooked nose, it's not an obligation to get that removed. It's a matter of choice, and people are more comfortable with being, let's put it in quotes, perfectly imperfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's the way the aesthetic is going.
Very
right?
much so. So that on a national trend, this could be. I have not seen it, though.
Can I ask you, a lot of people, when I hear nose, they hear nose jobs, they put them into a category of, did she have a good one or did she have a bad
one?
Or
did he?
Or he, yes. That was, thank you, Jen. But before we even get into the different kinds of nose jobs, what does a bad nose job look like and what does a good one look like?
It's somewhat based on the time frame. Surgeon's goal and a patient's goal 30 years ago is so different than what it is today. So if you're looking at what those people who went into the operating room 30 years ago told their surgeons they wanted, you wouldn't hear that today.
Do you think there was any influence at all because of, you know, we all have cameras in our pockets? Has that affected your work, the fact that, like, we know what we look like in a selfie at all times?
Selfies are problematic in that the camera, the lens on an iPhone, distorts the face.
Oh, thank God.
It magnifies the nose so that the first thing we do when a person pulls up a selfie and describes what they dislike about the nose, I put them in front of our photo screen and use an outstanding camera that does not magnify the nose in comparison to the rest of the
face.
Yeah,
it's a foreshortening effect.
Correct.
Sort of, yeah.
It is foreshortening on the iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
So the people who do come in, if they have good pictures, they've often morphed them themselves. There's tons of apps out there where a young person can image themselves and come in and say, this is the nose I want. And that's actually an outstanding communication tool.
Oh, so you don't mind when someone face-tunes their own photo and they're like, this is what I want.
Well, it's a good question. Today, for instance, I actually did what's called a tertiary rhinoplasty, meaning it's been done twice before elsewhere, and she's now 50-ish. Her nose, when she walked in the room, to me, was okay, slightly big compared to what this small woman's face would ideally have. When she asked me what I would do, I gave her my suggestions and I did an imaging. We have our own program and I showed her this and she said, that's not small enough. Mm. I said, okay, let's make it smaller. And I made it smaller in a way that was still appropriate and that I could perform, but I never would have gone there without that imaging program.
Is this proprietary imaging?
No, this is imaging that you can, any surgeon can actually purchase. You purchase it. What you do with it is your artistic eye and vision. And then in the operating room, the real challenge is to match your image drawing.
Do you have that like up in the operating room while
Absolutely.
You're working?
Absolutely.
That's interesting.
Yes.
I want to shout out Shelby via Instagram. She asked, I love this question, which celebrity are people mentioning when they come into your office?
Okay, the trifecta is going to be Kim Kardashian, Kylie Jenner, Kendall Jenner.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Those three, by far and away. And then the other one's Natalie Portman.
You might look nothing like Kim Kardashian.
Oh, well, this is the challenge.
Okay.
You have a person with a very large nose and they'll pull up an Emma Stone nose, which is small.
Mm-hmm.
She has like a little button nose.
Yeah. So if you're coming from Ireland, yeah, I can give you that.
That would look so weird
but
on my face.
It would be very difficult to make a Persian nose, which
That's
is
my
larger.
Nose. Did you know my nose that. Was Persian?
I did not know.
Oh.
I thought you might be Scottish.
Scottish?
Scottish. Jen.
Good day. I don't know what Scottish people say. Blimey, I don't know. Okay, so this brings up a question. You're talking about me and my Scottishness and whatever. Mm-hmm. Who is a candidate for a nose job? Is it based on whether the patient wants it or whether the doctor thinks they need it? Like, who is and isn't a candidate?
Okay, so from the doctor's perspective, we're first going to talk about the health of the person and the maturity. We cannot do a nose job on a young woman who has not been menstruating for a year.
Okay.
Unless there's certain particular reasons that they're not menstruating.
Okay.
We want there to be a certain physical and emotional development. So the youngest we'll do is a very large nose on a 14-year-old that's affecting self-esteem.
Okay.
Okay. Mm. So once we get past that, then you're talking about how do we know someone's a candidate for rhinoplasty? We're talking about aesthetically a candidate. Is that correct?
And psychologically, all of that.
Okay. So let's start with aesthetically. The idea of most rhinoplasties that come into my office are to make them a bit smaller, a bit more elegant, and a bit more proportionate with their face. So you have to look at the bone structure, the cartilage structure, which is the tip, and also the quality of the skin so that if the skin is healthy, not severe acne, mm-hmm. if the bones are not broken and they're sturdy, if the cartilage is developed, it's generally a yes. You can operate on this.
Okay.
And make it a more aesthetically appealing nose. The emotional challenge is going to be making the nose meet the patient's expectations. And that's where communication comes in. And the communication is going to be, I guess, three parts. It's going to be verbal, making sure you have a rapport with this patient, that you understand what they're asking for and that you can provide it. It's also going to be visual. I'm going to go through before and afters of my own work and see how they respond. I'm going to look at their faces and which picture that I put up there do they like? Which one do they like less? So you start to learn what they're seeking.
So you're not listening to their words. You're also looking at their face.
Correct. I'm looking at the mom's face. Because often
you keep talking about young people. Is that the majority of your patients?
Great question. So there's two parts to this. There's the people who are pre-college. And I would say that's 70%.
Oh, wow. You do a lot. Okay.
70% of your nose job patients are pre-college.
Pre-college, meaning wow. They're going to be doing it from, I would think the average age is 16 and a half.
Oh, wow.
And up to 18. They want to go to college with their dream nose.
I thought people all through the stages of their life get nose jobs. But
well,
what you're
do,
saying.
But they're mostly, in my practice, it is by far the ones who are getting ready to go to university and want to enter that university with the nose that they're going to have the rest
of their life. Is it safe to assume that your practice is a higher socioeconomic level than the majority of the United States?
I would say yes.
Okay, just to figure out what kind of patient population we're dealing with. He's in the upper...
Kids who they can say, Mom,
yeah,
I really want
just
this.
So we know the parameters. So back to what you were saying.
It is definitely an exclusive group.
No, that's fine. As long as we know what we're dealing with, mm-hmm, I think it's... So psychologically, you want to... Communication. You want to make sure that you can give them what they say they want.
Yes. So then we
We're watching
mom to see how is the mom's reaction. How is the mother or the father, it's often a group, interacting with the patient. You want to have a handle. Like, do you want to enter this relationship or not? They're interviewing me, but I'm also interviewing them. The other group, the other 30% is adults, anywhere from post-college up into their 60s. Maybe even 70. And each age group's different. So let's work backwards from the higher age group, from the 70-year-olds. As we age, many of us find that our noses droop more.
Yes, and sometimes the tip of the nose, I notice, can droop.
Exactly.
On people.
So the ptosis, which is the fancy word for droopy, of the tip that occurs...
Ptosis,
P-T-O-S-I-S, is caused because... The cartilages that hold the nose in place, they kind of loosen with age and they start to separate and the nose gets droopier. And so when someone comes in who's 70, you're really working on that. You're giving the tip support again. You're not breaking the bones at that age. So you limit the surgery to the tip. It's a very rapid recovery.
Just the tip.
Just the tip.
Sorry, go on.
When you might see people in the 50s, 40s, 50s, often it's revision rhinoplasty. They did it 20 years earlier and they've seen that it's changed over time, or they feel that it was too small, or there was still a bump, or there's a collapse. Those things are really common as well to fix.
One of our listeners asked about deviated septums, Brittany from the Facebook group. She says, is this something that requires a nose job? Will it change the look of the face? I feel like it's one of those things that people used as like an excuse for why they needed a nose job. What is that? Is that a thing?
There's a wall between our left and right nasal airways. That wall that separates our left and right nostrils goes all the way back. And if it's crooked, it's deviated. Deviated means crooked.
Okay.
So it could be from a sporting injury like a soccer ball hitting the nose. It could be the way you were born, the way you developed. But that crookedness is like a wall that constricts a room. It's crooked into one side of mm-hmm. the airway. So there are definitely people who have a deviated septum, cannot breathe, and during a rhinoplasty, it's worth fixing. In my practice, the other reason to do what's called a septoplasty is to get cartilage for making the nose to look better. So the septum's made out of cartilage, like our ear is made out of cartilage. Mm-hmm. And you can use that cartilage for something called grafts. Grafts are using cartilage to give the nose support or contour in certain ways. They're building blocks.
So it's like a resource. Like, we'll just take from the septum.
Harvest.
That is the word we use. We use the word harvest.
Have you ever harvested cartilage from elsewhere on the body to put in someone's nose?
Oh, this is a good question. You're going to harvest primarily septum.
Okay.
That is your number one choice.
It's already near there.
So you want a good thick septum.
But what happens when someone had a rhinoplasty in the past and the septum was harvested already? It's gone. So then you—
Do you not know until you get in there?
You know if you've done an exam. So every person who comes into my office, I'll look at their septum, put a Q-tip on it. If it's soft, it means it's gone. The cartilage is gone.
So where will you get it from?
The ear.
Oh, like the back of the ear?
Correct. You make a little nick in the back of the ear and take the cartilage out, which does not change the shape of the ear. It's completely visually the same.
Okay.
But it's wonderful to use in your nose.
I have a question here from Rachel from our Facebook group. How can you best predict what your post-rhinoplasty nose will look like on your face?
So, Rachel, there, as we were talking about earlier, there's imaging programs now so that we will take a very high-quality photography in my office and on the computer program morph the nose into something that will be very accurate for your post-operative.
Do all surgeons do that?
I think that modern, high-end modern practices offer this service.
So you can go home with a picture and like think about it.
Absolutely. The most important thing, though, is not how the surgeon draws that image, but can they produce it so that it is obviously easier to image something on a software program than it is to do in the operating room. So that's the other part of searching out a good surgeon.
Can we ask, how do you find a good doctor? Like, if that's a good sign, if you feel like, you know, you're looking at before and afters, can they actually produce what they're showing you? But how do you even go about finding someone?
There's a couple of tools you can use that are really available to you. One is ask the people you know. Ask your dermatologist for recommendations. See if you have friends who've had a similar operation. If we're talking about rhinoplasty, see if you have friends or family members who've had rhinoplasty and ask about their experience. Look at their results. Go on doctors' webpages. Is the webpage about sales trying to sell you, or is it about information? Is it classy, or is it about search engine optimization? Look at their before and afters very carefully, because listen, doctors are going to put their best results up. Are the before pictures at the same angles as the after pictures? Were they carefully done, or are they haphazard? When you go to the office, look at the cleanliness of the office. Look at the staff, how they communicate. Look at the bathroom. Look at the exam room. Every single detail needs to be perfect in terms of, is that person qualified to put you asleep and do the work? That's how I would judge it.
Are you under, general anesthesia? Is it local anesthesia? How does it work?
A rhinoplasty is not done under local. So I would think it's uncivilized to put a person into a operating room and inject their nose to make it numb and do it awake.
Have people done that, though?
Yes.
Just kind of use those terms.
It is still done occasionally.
Oh, my God.
I wouldn't want to go through it that way, because anesthesia today is so safe. And in the best of hands, you walk out of there in an hour after surgery perfectly fine. So the way we do it is we use the same medication as a colonoscopy, but we do protect the airway. And what that means is when you have a nose job, there could be a small amount of bleeding. And if you're asleep, you don't want that blood dripping into your stomach and making you nauseous. Mm. So we protect that event. And the patient wakes up, has something to eat, and is out of there within an hour.
What are like side effects and recovery like? What do you warn people about?
I think this is a really relevant question. And it's—
Thanks.
You're on point. You're on point here. So we've talked so far about the outcome, really the aesthetic, and how do we know if you're a candidate or not? But then let's talk about the experience. And one of the things I'll routinely tell my patients, or every patient, is what we're going to do in my office is provide you the most beautiful nose with the most rapid recovery. And rapid recovery to me means zero bruising throughout the whole process, a splint on the outside for 6 days. And when that splint comes off on day six, either you're back to school or back to work, certainly by day seven.
Wait, so all doctors, you're not going to have like two black eyes and whatever like we've seen in the movies?
So I can only speak for what goes in my office now. And with the technique I'm performing, the level of bruising is a 0 out of 99,
that's
1 out of 100.
That's insanity. What are you doing differently than other doctors?
Some of it's going to be the touch you have, the tactile touch, so that, for instance, you can take a book and slam it onto a table or gently put it down. You can use that same comparison for how you hold instruments and how you operate on someone's face or body, whatever it is you're doing, a gentle touch goes a long way. Another is understanding the anatomy and having that instrument in that perfect location at all times, avoiding every single blood vessel, avoids bruising. The other thing, which is so simple but almost always forgotten, let's just say someone's bones are going to be broken. What that means is you take a very sharp diamond tip chisel at the base of the bone and you nudge it in to narrow the bones. Many people, if not all surgeons, will do that and then move on to the next maneuver. Mm-hmm. What I'm going to do is take my hands with gauze and put pressure on that site for 5 minutes. And that pressure stops any potential bruising that could occur from that maneuver. Does that make sense?
That makes a
you
lot of sense to me.
You squeeze it and you squeeze it hard for 5 minutes.
You're taking your time for a second instead of moving on to the next task.
Exactly. The other component of a rapid recovery for us is pain control. Before our patients wake up, we inject them with a very long-lasting Novocaine-like drug so that you wake up, you feel nothing. Your nose is numb. It stays numb that day, and all our patients just require Tylenol. And
wow.
I was going to ask about painkillers because a lot of people are so worried now.
It's not required anymore in my office.
That's good to know because a lot of people have surgery, and your doctor just gives you these pain pills that a lot of people get addicted
to.
Yeah,
we want to avoid the opiates.
Yeah.
What are some other misconceptions about nose jobs?
So one misconception about nose job is, what does it mean to break the bones? Most patients think that you're going to walk up to the nose and take a hammer to it. Imagine you have a roof of a house. There's the left and right side of the roof, and they come together at the top of a triangle.
Mm-hmm.
When you break bones, what you're actually doing is bringing together the base of the triangle. And what you've done before that is you file down the roof. So the top you bring down, the top is the bump, and then the bump is gone, so it gets a little flat. Can you imagine this? You file the top of the triangle down, and now it gets a little trapezoidal. And that is why you break the bones. You are actually recreating that triangular shape by bringing the bottom of the roof together, and the top gets together at the same time.
And that brings us, I think, to our last question. I forget who asked this. How much does a rhinoplasty tend to cost in the United States?
So, not your practice.
So I looked at the statistics.
Not the elite horsemen.
I think the average price in the United States right now would be in the $8,000 range.
And that includes your anesthesia and whatever?
In many areas, that would probably include it. And then it goes up from there.
Okay. Well, thank you for all the information.
Thank you so much, Dr. Rosenberg.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for the opportunity.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love. And be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit DiscoverSouthCarolina.com.
Time,
It is time to raise a wand, and this Raise a Wand segment is brought to you by Sparked at Ulta Beauty. We're picking our faves from Sparked at Ulta.
Raise a wand. I was like, let me sing.
What raise it.
What are you raising a wand to?
Zoeva, authentic skin, natural luminous foundation. I have got a lot of foundations on the go right now. I'm going through a bit of a foundation period because I need to like feel.
I feel like in winter you usually do this. Like you always raise it. Like you like a new foundation in winter. I've noticed that about
Sometimes you know me better than I know myself.
It's weird because we spend a lot of time together. So this one, what's the finish like?
Here's why I like it. Because it is luminous, but it doesn't feel like sparkly. You know, sometimes they can get a little too flashy. This is very silky. It's very smooth. It lasts for a long time, which I like. And it's just like a touch of luminosity. So don't get scared when you hear like luminous.
Even I might like
it. It's not Tin Man.
Some of the ones you like, I feel like I look shimmery, but this one's like less than shimmery.
I know which one you're talking about. That one really works for me too. Uh-huh, but like this, this is actually subtler than that. So this is like a luminous foundation even Jen Goldstein could love. $28.
That's a good one. I went with a delicious new facial oil, which I can never say no to. It's Terra Beauty Bars is the brand name. Noit Rosehip Plus Watermelon 5 Plant Facial Oil. I actually got the giggles when I first saw this because I was like, Noit. Like I was saying, night.
How do you spell
it? It's N-O-I-T-E. There's Italian essential oils in these things, so I think it might be Italian.
Okay.
I didn't do that part of my research. But watermelon seed oil is kind of cool.
Watermelon definitely had a moment in the past year.
It did, but this has all sorts of other good plant oils in it too.
Yeah.
And I like to seal in my skincare routine at night with this. Like, yes. After I do my serum, you know, if I happen to need moisturizer, and then just like put on the oil as like my sealant. And this is a good one for that.
Let that be a PSA. Oils go on top.
Oils go on top.
They seal in.
Do people not know that? Do they think of them like a serum and put them
on
first?
I think they do. Because even a lot of the brands, they will, in the back of the instructions, they'll be like, put on clean skin. And I don't know.
If you're not doing anything else.
But it's better than nothing.
You need some moisture first. At least I do. I'm a dry person, let me be honest.
Yeah.
So this is moisturizing, but I use it more like a suck in all the goodness before I go to bed. So there you go.
Love it.
Raise a wand. Thanks for listening. Our show is produced by At Will Media.
Be sure to follow us on Instagram at FatMascara. Go to FatMascara.com to get a link to our private Facebook group and hit us up.
If you have a beauty question, you can send it to us at info@FatMascara.com. We'd love if you send us a voice memo. We also want to hear your raise a wands. Send those to the same address, info@FatMascara.com.
And if you like what you're hearing, please leave us a review on iTunes. Just throw us some stars.